Welcome back, children of the revolution, and one and all, to What You're Not Listening To, the audio educational and anthology program here on aceofspadespdx.com. And I'm Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., your host, show producer, webmaster, audio engineer, researcher, videographer, and writer, doing it all here on the DIY for International Women's Day 2021. Yes, here we are in early March, and thank you all for being here. This will be an extended program, probably the longest one we're doing this month, and it could have been longer. It might have, should have been longer, but it could have been longer because regardless of how you remember it, of what you've heard, there was more quality material than you could really throw a cat at. Not that we should be throwing cats or anything of that nature. But let's get back to the reason we're all here. And that reason, of course, is not throwing cats, but our show this week for International Women's Day focuses on Sisters of the 70s. For those of you who may believe that the girl group sound died in the 1960s, it didn't. It decided to evolve and mature in ways that weren't always geared at the pop chart and with a newfound freedom that didn't always include bouffant hairdos, high heels, and with newfound themes of independence and honesty. Recently, when I spoke to someone about today's program, their response was, "Girl groups really just disappeared in the 1970s. It's a common misconception, and not with more than a fair bit of truth. Yes, male-driven, producer-driven trios and quartets, replete with songs that were primarily about love and romance, did take a nosedive by the end of the decade. In fact, only one act that featured a female lineup scored a number one Billboard pop hit in the first half of the decade. Honeycomb, two if you count the 3 Degrees with MFSB. Considering that the 1960s ended with Diana Ross and the Supremes, Someday We'll Be Together at the pole position, I couldn't fault you for making this assumption that these types of acts had fallen off a precipice. However, most of the 60s girl group sounds were primarily either in the R&B, dance, and pop fields, sometimes all three simultaneously. It wasn't that female acts weren't popular during the so-called me decade. Disco electronic dance artist Donna Summer and singer-songwriter Carole King set the bar so high for their respective genres that they had become the gold standard. Likewise, acts with women as lead singers or playing instruments with men had also come to the fore, most notably in the hard rock, funk, punk, new wave, and adult contemporary styles. Note that all of these music movements were also birthed or became big during the 1970s. Where female vocal acts and bands did flourish was internationally. Just like with other music genres exported from the United States prior, like jazz, R&B, and rock, girl groups started popping up literally all over the world, especially with the mainstream explosion of Japanese idol groups. To others outside of America, this was a thoroughly exciting concept that had never been previously mined to great success in their home countries. Yes, women were making incredible strides in the 1970s by demanding the equality that they were promised in the Constitution, but still, some 50 to 60 years later, are still struggling to achieve. For all this advancement that was apparently happening, women wanting to be treated on even footing caused a backlash by the white, conservative male establishment who were attempting to keep them under wraps and get them back in the kitchen. This was evident in every part of society, particularly the music industry. A woman as a lead artist might be considered novel and cute, but men definitely don't want to hear female musicians call them out on their bad behavior in a song they heard on the radio. God also forbid that a woman might be a driving artistic force behind mass media, particularly behind the scenes as a writer or a producer. It is this latter concept that has, in my opinion, come to dominate and define what female vocal groups and bands of the era, who by and large were still called girl groups and not groups of women. Women started taking an active role in their own careers as professional musicians and simply not just be happy to be given anything that was offered to them as if they should be grateful and know their place. Men still control the industry, as they do now, but in the 1970s, women were proving, often working at times twice as hard as men, that their voices should not only be heard, but had a financial value to a business model often driven by glamour and greed. Our program is dedicated to the late Mary Wilson of Detroit, Michigan. She was one of the founders and the longest tenured members of the Supremes, the greatest all-female vocal group in history. She passed away a month ago today and is featured in this program. Her 77th birthday would have been 2 days ago on March 6th. And let's get right into it, shall we? Our first track, The Brainchild of Yugoslavian-born Sylvester LeVay, comprised of three women by the time of the first international hit recordings. Ramona Wolf, Linda G. Thompson, and Gertrude Wischinger, a.k.a. Penny McLean. These women hail from West Germany, Mauritius, and Austria. This song and their Grammy-winning predecessor, Fly Robin Fly, consisted of only six different words, but laid the foundation of all mainland European dance music that was followed even to this day. From 1976, from a title track to Get Up and Boogie by Silver Convention, and we will see you in about 30 minutes.
That's right!
Thank you.
say. I've been waiting for so long, so I just long. Found out there's something wrong. Nothing will get better if I stay. There's no need to explain anymore. I tried my best to love you. Now I'm walking out the door.
to believe everything you say is true. That just goes to show that you really don't know. While you're out painting the town, do you think I'm home just sitting around waiting on you? Now who's really the fool? When I first found out, I heard all over. I felt so left out till I got to know her. So I tried the way that she got over, and I became just like her. So don't be surprised if I met the angel in your arms this morning. It's gonna be the devil in someone else's arms tonight. Yes, the angel in your arms this morning. It's gonna be the devil in someone else's arms tonight. Why'd you slip around secretly? You were tired of loving me. Why'd you keep holding on when love was already gone? The times you said you weren't feeling well, did you think I couldn't tell? You'd been with someone else. You were only kidding yourself. When I first found out, I heard all over. I felt so left out till I got to know. So I tried the way that she got over, and I became just like her. So don't be surprised to find that the angel in your arms this morning is gonna be the devil in someone else's arms tonight. Yes, the angel in your arms this morning is gonna be the devil in someone else's arms tonight. Yes, the angel in your arms this morning is gonna be the devil in someone else's arms tonight.
And welcome back, children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to, Sisters of the 70s program for International Women's Day 2021. Thank you all for being here. Mine, this has been kind of all over the map, right? Yes, it's technically, I would normally call it one of those kitchen sink shows where there's just so many things going on and they're all tied together by all these incredibly fabulous and talented women. And let's get into getting a little biographies done here before we launch in the second part, because these women deserve to be heard and known. All right, kicked it all off with Get Up and Boogie. 1976 by Silver Convention. This is one of those songs, by the way, that just puts me in the best possible mood. The last song in this program does that for me as well in a very different way. And in the 1970s, if you lived through them as I did, let me tell you, Boogie, you know, when you hear about these, you know, the Merriam-Webster, this is the word of the year. Boogie was probably one of the words of the decade. Yes, it was. It was all over the place. Following that was Cookie Jar from 1978 by Parlette, The Pleasure Principle. Parlette was founded in Detroit by Parliament Funkadelic brainchild George Clinton, and two of the women, Jeanette Washington and Debbie Wright, were originally singers in that band. This is a track from the group's debut album, their highest charting success. They would go on to record two more full-length LPs, Invasion of the Booty Snatchers. And that happened. And Play Me or Trade Me. After that, Fairy Tale from 1974 from the album That's a Plenty, their third, by the Pointer Sisters. An out-of-nowhere hit for this sister act, which at the time consisted of Anita, June, Ruth, and baby sister Bonnie. And it stood in stark contrast to the funky R&B singles the band had quickly become known for. It is the first single by a black group to make the U.S. country charts, and the first single to be written by black women, sisters Bonnie and Anita, to make the U.S. country charts. And when they won the Grammy for Best Country Performance by a Duo or Group for this song, they were the only female vocal act of any ethnicity to achieve this feat. Following that, from 1971, from the album Soulful Tapestry, Honeycomb, One Monkey Don't Stop No Show, part one. People ask me about Honeycomb, and I've probably said this before, and I will probably say it again because it's the absolute truth. This was Destiny's Child before those children had a destiny, let me tell you. Taken from the third album by this Los Angeles-based group of former backup singers Edna Wright, Shelley Clark, and Edna Willis, Honeycomb were part of the Holland Dozier Holland's hit-making machine at the label the latter three founded after leaving Motown over a royalty dispute, Hot Wax Invictus. Most of the band's hits were written by General Johnson, the lead singer of the soul group, the chairman of the board. Following that, the title track to Substitute from 1977 by Clout. Five women born and based in Johannesburg, South Africa, comprising of Cindy Alter, Eileen Thompson, Ingrid Herbst, Glenda Hyam, and Jenny Garson, not only singing but playing all the instruments, scored a huge international hit with this Righteous Brothers cover. It also made the middle part of the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 their only appearance stateside on the chart. Unable to match the success of this hit, their first big one, they called it a day in 1981. Following that, from the album We Are Family, that was Lost in Music by Sister Sledge from 1979. Another one of the many lessons I often give about not giving up. Sister Sledge were Atlantic Records' lowest-selling act by 1978, the year prior to the album's release, after releasing two LPs that flopped. Before giving up completely on the business, Real Sisters Debbie, Joni, Kim, and Kathy were approached by the hottest new group of the era, label mates Nile Rodgers and Bernard Thompson of Chic. The parent album not only went platinum, it contained no less than four top 40 hits for the group, including one of the defining singles of the era, the title track to We Are Family. Following that, from the album Cut from 1979, The Slits, and the song was Love und Romance. From the debut LP by the short-lived but highly influential all-female post-punk band The Slits, this track, taken from their first proper studio album, followed a DIY release of demos and outtakes that has no official title. The band were the opening act for several soon-to-be well-known punk bands, including The Clash. By the time of this release, their lineup consisted of Ari Up, Viv Albertine, and Tessa Pollitt, and Palmolive, who actually played and wrote on the album, and she left before the album was released. All four share writing credits on the album. After that, the song we just heard, Angel in Your Arms from 1977, by the self-titled debut album by Hot. Yes, you heard that correctly. All of the members of this group were former backup singers with long resumes. Prior to being known as Hot, this multi-ethnic group, consisting of Juanita Curiel, who was Hispanic, Kathy Carson, who was white, and Gwen Owens, who was black, were professionally known just a year prior as Sweet Talk and also as Sugar and Spice. And they scored an unlikely slow burner with the song about a cheating husband. It made the top 10, but it stayed on the charts for so long that it ended up being the fifth biggest single of the year. Alrighty, and we're going to kick into a second part here. And the group leading the second half of this program hails from Philadelphia. You'll hear that name. There's always been a long and illustrious history of female groups and bands out of the city of Brotherly Love and Cream Cheese and, of course, cheesesteaks. It's a lovely, lovely place with a lot of history. And they are still together after almost 60 years. This was a top 10 R&B single for the group, with a lead by Valeria Holiday, and sounds nothing like the smooth 70s soul they would be most associated with on the Philadelphia International label, founded by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. It is a radical reworking of a song by the Chantels from 1957 and contains one of the hallmarks of R&B singles from that era, an extended spoken word intro. And my God, what a one it is. From 1970, this is The 3 Degrees with the title track to Maybe, and we'll see you just before the grand finale.
Girls, it's hard to find a guy that really blows your mind, and you just dig everything about him. And when you mess up your good thing, you feel like you want to die. I know, because I messed up mine. You know, girls, sometimes we can say some pretty dumb things. I told the nicest guy in the world to get lost. I don't need you. But he was cool. He just stood there looking so hurt. And he said, "A that's the way you want it. And he split. I just stood there looking dumb and let that man walk right out of my life. And I've been as evil as a wet hen ever since. I said I wasn't gonna sweat it. Oh, but I did. How do you just forget something that's a part of you? And then one evening I was standing at the bus stop and I heard a voice behind me say, oh, I just fell all apart inside because I hadn't heard that voice in such a long time. I turned around, and there he was. Oh, he was looking so good. I couldn't help but wonder if the flame was still there. But I knew I had to find out, and it had to be now. So I took his hand, looked into his eyes. I said,
maybe, maybe, if I cried every day. If you go down to hell,
if you go down to hell,
if you go down to heaven,
you'll never come
Don't に顔を出します。もうすぐ春ですね、ちょっと気取ってみませんか。風が吹いて暖かく傘を運んできました。どこかの子が隣の子を迎えに来ました。もうすぐ春ですね、彼を誘ってみませんか。泣いてばかりいたって幸せは来ないから、重いコート脱いで出かけませんか。もうすぐ春ですね、恋をしてみませんか。楽しそうです。雪を跳ねて猫や何が顔を出します。もうすぐ春ですね、ちょっと気取ってみませんか。おしゃれをして男の子が出かけて行きます。水を蹴ってカエルの子が泳いで行きます。もうすぐ春ですね、彼を誘ってみませんか。別れ話したのは去年のことでしたね。一つ大人になって忘れませんか。もうすぐ春ですね、恋をしてみませんか。別れ話したのは去年のことでしたね。一つ大人になって忘れませんか。もうすぐ春ですね、恋をしてみませんか。もうすぐ春ですね、恋をしてみませんか。
Thank you.
this song. I probably say that about every one of these tracks, but memories, yes. Welcome back, one and all, the children of the revolution to Sisters of the 70s here on What You're Not Listening To for International Women's Day 2020. And we're looking at a lot of international women in this program, obviously. And if you weren't aware, we're going to tell you a little bit about them as well. And kicked off the second part of our program with Maybe by the 3 Degrees from 1970. Following that, from the debut album by the Roches from 1979, Hammond Song. Real sisters Maggie, Terry, and Suzy, yes, two Z's and not Susie, Roche released their debut album for Warner Brothers at the end of the decade. Maggie and Terry had originally released an LP as a duo for Columbia before quitting the business for several years after label pressure to look more modern. Yeah. And then they moved to Hammond, Louisiana. This release was produced by King Crimson founder Robert Fripp and was a huge critical success that launched their careers. Following that, theme song to Which Way Is Up from 1977, which eventually found its way to the debut album by Stargard. Rochelle Runnels, Deborah Anderson, and Janice Williams were Stargard. After this promising debut single release from the Richard Pryor blaxploitation film of the same name, their debut album, released in 78, made the top 20 on the R&B charts and the top 30 on the pop albums chart. It was written by Norman Whitfield, one of the most successful and prolific songwriters and producers at Motown Records, before his departure in the mid-1970s, and signaled the emergence of electro soul that would come to dominate R&B for several years. Following that, the full-length album version of Stoned Love from 1970. Speaking of Motown, The Supremes from the album New Ways, But Love Stays. This was the biggest success the post-Diana Ross Supremes ever had, including their last number one on any chart with a single, and it hit number one on the R&B chart, made the top five on the pop chart. The lineup consisted of new lead singer Gene Terrell, Cindy Birdsong, and the late Mary Wilson. You'll hear again about Birdsong in just a moment. It was from their, get this, 21st album, and was sandwiched in between two releases by The Supremes with the Four Tops, The Magnificent Seven, and The Return of The Magnificent Seven. This is the full-length version with an extended, slightly spoken word intro and plea by Terrell to end the Vietnam War. Its title was often misconstrued as a reference to drugs, causing some stations not to play it. Following that, from 1977, this could only be described in two words, Sunshine Soul, from the album Rejoice by The Emotions, Best of My Love. Starting out in 1962 as a gospel group, The Emotions, originally from Chicago, Illinois, and made up of sisters Wanda, Sheila, Pamela, and Jeanette Hutchinson, found their initial fame as a minor charting group with the Stax Volt label out of Memphis, Tennessee. After the dissolution of Stax in 75, the group, along with Stax label mate Johnny Taylor, moved to Columbia, which started their slow rise to this number one pop and R&B smash, written and produced by Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire. It was also the third biggest song of 1977. Following that, a live version of Blind Alley from 1972 from the Beat Club TV program out of Europe. And it was originally from the LP Fanny Hill. This is Fanny. And they were the first all-female band to record full-length albums for a major label. Consisting of two sisters, Jean and June Millington, originally from the Philippines, they were joined by Alice DeBurr on drums, a native of Sacramento, California. Producer Richard Perry recruited Nikki Barclay to also play, not only sing, but also play keyboards. DeBurr often lamented that the recordings didn't match their live performances, hence the inclusion of This Smoker from their third release, recorded at Apple Records Studios in London. They would place two top 40 singles in the United States, and all were also session musicians, with Barclay playing with Joe Cocker on Mad Dogs and Englishmen, and all four playing on the Barbra Streisand LP and single Stony End. Following that, Haru Ichiban from 1976 by Kayandizu, and this was the single A-side, and it was in a slightly different mix from the album Haru Ichiban, and this is outside of Japan, they're known as Candies. Translated roughly as Spring's First Breeze, this song, known outside of their native Japan, were one of the first two and biggest Japanese idol bands of the 70s, the other being Pink Lady. Incidentally, they were also both recruited from television programs, much like the American Idol series of the new millennium. Members were also known by only one name, Sue, Ran, and Mickey. This track is a different arrangement of their 1975 title of the album, and at the height of their popularity, they dropped out completely the music business to return to being, in their words, ordinary girls. Their final performance was in 1978. And the song we just heard from the album In Heat from 1974, I Belong to You by Unlimited. This doo-wop-inspired throwback single was the biggest hit by the trio of Kenda James, Diane Taylor, and Glodeen James, the latter who would become the wife of one of the song's writers and producers, Barry White. They were originally known as Love Unlimited, scoring a gold single with Walking in the Rain with The One I Love. In fact, that was the first gold single that Barry White ever got. You can actually hear his voice in the song as the man on the telephone. And all were also backing singers for White. This was from their third LP, and the trio recorded until 1980 and released five full-length albums of material by then. Alrighty. And I was hesitating whether to put this song in or not, but something happened on the internet. I think it's always happened on the internet, right? This was a very beautiful one, which gave us, like, this is a sign. This is absolutely a sign. And this group originally started out in Philadelphia as a four-piece known as the Bluebells. And our last act once features future Supremes member Cindy Birdsong. After her departure, Patti LaBelle, Nota Hendrix, and Sarah Dash released a series of rock-funk albums for Warner Brothers and RCA, as well being featured vocalist on Nora Nero's Gonna Take a Miracle LP. It wasn't until their fourth album on Epic that the group would cement themselves as a commercial force with the release of this track, considered to be one of the greatest singles of all time by Billboard magazine and, of course, the editors of Rolling Stone. It was written by pop songwriter Kenny Nolan about a Crescent City commercial sex worker, produced by New Orleans legend Alan Toussaint, featured instrumental backing by the Meters and with a chorus in French, which loosely translated to Do You Want to Sleep With Me Tonight? Prior to this track, the group had never placed a single in the pop top 40. This number one across the board smash was so successful, it landed the group on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, which made them the first all black music group of any gender to grace the front of the publication. And before any of our historians go, wait a minute, what about, yes, Sly and the Family Stone were initially also on the cover of Rolling Stone, but if you remember our show from Black History Month, they were not only just mixed gender, but also mixed ethnicity as well. And even though I didn't have the heart to tell her when I spoke to her briefly on Instagram some time back for fear of coming across as some deranged stalker fan bear, Ms. Sarah Dash, it also just happens to be my all-time favorite song. And if you have questions, feedback, comments, dedications, love letters, and requests, you're always welcome. Please drop me a line at DaddyBenBear, one word, DaddyBenBear@gmail.com, or find me on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn by using the name Ben Brown Jr., or on Instagram, Brown Jr. Ben, or you can find me on my design site as well at AOSPDX.com. There is a contact page, and you can just drop me a line. Love to you all, and happy International Women's Day. Let's just keep building each other up. Yes, because reasons. Love to you all. From 1974, from the album Nightbirds, this is LaBelle with Lady Marmalade.